This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show here on Channel Radio in association with Biz Radio. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and sadly, Jules isn't with us this week because she's feeling under the weather. So we hope she's better soon and is fully recovered in time for her Christmas hollybobs. Before the break, we were hearing from Pam Locke, and one of the things we talked about was Christmas parties, and we had a quick chat with our studio guest Sarah Drage, just talking about alcohol. Sarah Marsh Collins has said, great to see the rising grown-up non-alcoholic drinks available. I always disliked sweet soda drinks like Coke, so if I was Des, don't know, it was difficult to find anything nice. Is that designated driver?
Possibly.
Yeah,
possibly,
could be,
yeah.
Couldn't it?
Yep.
It was difficult to find anything nice. It's great to see it becoming fashionable to not drink. For the record, I'm rarely Des. Thank you, Sarah. I've also had a tweet completely... Sarah has also said, I made a comment about the photo that Jules put up of my present.
Oh, yeah.
And I said it looked like she'd cut the bottom off a Christmas card. Sarah said, that's called recycling or upcycling, Vanilla Web. Reusing Christmas cards. There's nothing wrong with that at all. No, that's very true, Sarah. That is true. Yeah, wait till you see what I'm going to recycle for her present. A half-eaten mince pie. I'm going to go, that's recycled, that is. Casey Canine, who is a greyhound from Tenterton, has been on. It says, I've been busy emptying the bin in the kitchen. Yeah, and there's a picture of what Casey has done to the bin in the kitchen. You can imagine, can't you? Cool. Right. I've got a couple of events to tell you about, and then we're going to talk to Sarah. There's a Women in Business Medway and North Kent monthly meeting on Wednesday, January the 4th at 6:30. That's 6:30 in the evening. And it's taking place at the Wisdom Hospital, Rochester. If you'd like to find out more or to book your place, if you go to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/calendar, you can find out more. In fact, all of these that I'm going to tell you about can be found in the same place. There's a Maidstone Business Boost Startup Workshop. It's a free startup workshop on Wednesday, the 18th of January, between 9:30 a.m. and 3 p.m. It's the perfect opportunity to hear from industry specialists with free tips and guidance to boost your business. So if you're thinking of starting up a business, this is the place to be. It's totally free, and it's taking place at the Business Terrace, which is in King Street, Maidstone, on the 18th of January, 9:30 until 3. I'll give you the link at the end of all of these, again, so that you can go and find out and book your place. There's the Kent Farming Conference 2023. The Kent Conference Farming Conference 2023 will delve into the future of farming, covering topics such as innovation and sustainability. It's taking place on Wednesday, the 25th of January, and it's in the evening. It's from 6 p.m. until 10 p.m. And it's at the Kent County Agricultural Society. That's at the Detlin Showground. All of those events that I've just told you can be found by going to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/calendar. There's a lot happening in farming. I've got two or three friends that run fruit farms, especially, and there's a lot of artificial intelligence and mechanical stuff for picking fruit and stuff like that. Some friend of mine run an apple farm, and they have this device that they roll up to a tree. It unfolds like an umbrella, grips the tree, shakes it, all the apples fall into the umbrella, and then it takes
it. That's amazing.
Absolutely amazing.
Wow.
Some of the machines and the things they can pick, even soft fruit, which was always difficult because the machine squished it, even that can be picked by automation now. So really interesting that there's a lot happening in farming. So if you're in that world, get along to the 2023 Farmers Conference at Detlin. Do it. I'm going to read one more thing, I think, and then I'm going to talk to Sarah because I really want to talk to Sarah. But we need to get these out of the way. Oh, right. This is a bit controversial. Well, it has been. I don't know why, but it is. We all need photo ID if we're going to vote in the future. That's now been passed as a law. All voters attending polling stations across Britain will now need to show photographic identification before they receive their ballot paper. Maidstone Council will be holding its next local election on Thursday, the 4th of May, 2023, and is encouraging all residents to cast their vote, but is reminding everyone to bring a form of photo ID. So basically, the form of ID that are accepted are a driver's licence, a passport, some concessionary travel passes. I'll talk about that in a minute. Pass cards, Ministry of Defence identity cards, photo card parking permits issued as part of the Blue Badge scheme, and free voter cards provided by local authorities. So if you haven't got any of those, you can apply to Maidstone Council for a free ID card. And you can get that by going to the Maidstone Council website. A lot of people on social media keep posting the same thing that says, how come people over 60 or over 65 can use an Oyster card or a travel card for voter ID, but people under that can't? There's a very simple reason why. To get one of those cards, you have to prove your age. To get a travel card, if you're under 65, you don't have to prove your age and you don't have to prove anything. You just buy the card. To get a free pass, like me, because I'm an OAP, I have to prove that I'm over 65. That's why. So we need voter ID as of now. So if you haven't got any of those things, you can get a free card from your local authority. So do check out your local authority website to get one. And you might as well get one now because you're going to need it sometime next year in voting at local elections. Right. Enough of all that. I want to talk to Sarah. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome, for the very first time onto the Business Bunker Show, Sarah Drage. Sarah is from Social Enterprise Kent, and they've got Social Enterprise Kent do lots of interesting things, and we'll just find out about them in general in a minute. But Sarah is the project manager for one of their new projects, and it's a really clever project. Sarah, welcome to the show.
Hi, hello.
It's absolutely lovely to have you here. Can you just start off by giving a little bit of an overview of Social Enterprise Kent, who you are and what you do?
Yes, so I'm Sarah Drage. I'm one of the business advisors, and I have been working for Social Enterprise Kent now for just over 12 months.
Right.
Absolutely love my job, which I feel very privileged to be able to say that. I love the ethos of Social Enterprise Kent. They're a not-for-profit community interest company that do a lot of good for the community.
Absolutely.
I'm currently project managing a project called Buy Social Kent,
right,
which is a directory of social businesses and local businesses who can evidence their social impact.
Yep.
And we will be offering them one-to-one support in the new year, and basically just trying to promote business that does good.
Yeah.
Really, like with a social impact, and supporting those not-for-profits and those local organisations that don't get the same look in that the big corporate organisations have. So that is the project that I'm currently working on.
Okay.
Social Enterprise Kent as a whole, we offer training, business support in general, across other projects. It's a little bit up in the air at the moment. We've got some new projects that are coming next year, which we can't talk about at the moment. But there's other projects that we've been involved in, for example, the Breaking Barriers project, which has recently come to an end, which Social Enterprise Kent won an award for, and that was supporting marginalised people move closer to the labour market.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I was lucky enough to be involved in that project, and it was a really good initiative, and we've supported a lot of people move closer to that labour market.
Absolutely, yeah. It was something I was involved in as well, not directly with Social Enterprise Kent, but with Kent Supported Employment, the KCC group that's now part of the education people. It's finding people with supported needs in work. And if I can remember, there's something like 17 million people with supported needs in the UK, and only a small percentage of them have been able to work, even though they want to work. And that was the key thing. They want to work, but they just were struggling to actually get into work. So the initiatives that you guys were doing really addressed that, didn't they?
And
helped so many people into full-time or well-paid, decent jobs with full support.
Absolutely. And it wasn't just the part. So we have obviously the participants, so we were helping move closer to that labour market. But it was also going into businesses and talking to them about their equality and diversity, like their policies, what they have in place, and discussing the benefits of employing somebody that might have a disability, for instance. There's a lot of stigma in the world, so it's going in there and it's talking about the benefits and talking about how they can improve their EDI policies.
Absolutely, you're right. You know, so especially with small employers, small businesses, of which the vast majority of businesses are small businesses, really struggle to do anything different, because it's not really what they do. They don't have HR teams, and they don't have diversity officers, and they don't have all that kind of stuff. So they can get a little bit scared. You know, if I take someone in a wheelchair, does that mean I've got to rebuild my office and I've got to do this and I've got to do that? You know, I'm the president of the Kent Deaf Children's Society, and we try to find work experience for our young adults. And almost every business you go into, they go, well, I'd love to employ a deaf person, but, you know, if the fire alarms went off, they wouldn't hear it. No, really? We'd never thought of that, you know.
But there's a lot of things that are in place. There are a lot of grants available to employers to recruit people with a disability.
So they can
put the infrastructure in place.
Absolutely.
And that's something that Social Enterprise Kent can support them with. They can support them with applications to funders for things like that.
And again, that's one of the fantastic things that you guys did, was letting people know that this was available, that if you employ a deaf person, you can get a grant to put a flash light in rather than a siren. It's not a big deal. It's not a big deal, and it doesn't cost you a penny because the government will pay for it. Absolutely. Okay, I want to come back to the project you're working on, though, because I think it's a brilliant, all the things you do are brilliant, but your latest project, which is a bi-social product, it's kind of ticking for me two or three boxes, because you're fairly local. So you're looking at buying local and buying small, rather than big corporates necessarily, but also buying social. And I just want to explore what that actually means and what you mean by buying social. So you got CIOs and CICs and other social enterprises, but you're also looking at small businesses that just, I've got a heart, really.
Yes, we are. So small businesses with a social impact, and that might be your local news agent that invests in their community. So they might gift food to the homeless charities. As long as you're a local business who can demonstrate that social impact, then they're more than welcome to advertise themselves on our free directory. Buying social, it's essentially a spin-off of Social Enterprise, and a social enterprise is a not-for-profit organisation. So it's in between, I say, a limited company and a charity. So it's a CIC, it's a company limited by guarantee, or maybe limited by shares, but only a small proportion of that can be shares. And not-for-profit organisations will reinvest their profits into their cause. So we've got an array of CICs, or social enterprises, on our directory, from there's a great kitchen based in Faversham, actually, called Wasted Kitchen, and they take food that is very close to its sell-by date, and they make recipes from it. And they will sell those ingredients, or sell what they've created in their kitchen. And it's all reinvested back into the community. And there's quite a few.
I was going to ask you, Sarah, I mean, have you got a feel for how many, roughly, I mean, I don't expect precise numbers, how many social enterprises there are in Kent?
We actually did a data exercise where we pulled off all the data from Companies House and the Charity Commission. Discovered, let me get my statistics right. My manager will be in the background here listening to this. There are 4,000, I believe, CICs and charities registered in Kent. Now, not all of them are active. But there's a good proportion of those that are trading and that are currently active within Kent and Medway. I mean, CIC, I 5 years ago, I didn't have a clue what CIC was. I didn't understand the concept. Yep. Everyone knows what a charity is. We all know what a limited company is. But that in between, that community interest company, it's often I find they're often the ones that are most overlooked.
Yep.
But they do a great deal amount for their communities. And they're all governed with an asset lock as well.
Yeah.
So if a CIC enters into, I don't know, liquidation or they dissolve, then any of their assets that are left over will be then donated to a charity that they have incorporated into their models or articles of association.
Yeah.
There's some great initiatives out there, and we want to be able to support them with our directory.
Yeah.
We want to be able to support them, offer them advice when it comes to marketing, because I think marketing is one of those, again, that we the budget for a lot of CICs and a lot of charities just isn't there for marketing, and that's something that we can support with as well.
It's interesting. I mean, the rise of the community interest companies really came about because a lot of bigger charities run trading arms as a way of raising funds. A lot of smaller charities can't afford to do that, and they don't have income from anywhere else. So a community interest company was that lovely hybrid that enabled you to be a not-for-profit company without having to be a charity, but without having to be a full-blown trading company. I don't know why, but then the government also introduced a thing called CIOs, which is like a low-level CIC.
It's Charitable Incorporated Organisation.
Yeah, and I don't know what all that was about.
You still have to be regulated by the charity.
Yeah, you do. I don't know why they saw a need for another level, though. I don't know what the difference between a CIC and a CIO is.
There's a lot of restrictions when it comes to being a charity as to what you can trade and what you can't trade.
Yeah.
You have to remain within those objectives.
Yeah.
I don't want to start talking out of terms because this isn't my I do business advice, but I don't, when it comes to the legal structures of things like this, I don't want to say anything wrong, but there is a difference there in terms of how it's governed.
But both are interesting evolutions of that same thing, where people want to do good in a community, and that's the ultimate thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
That they're not in business or trading to make a profit to distribute to shareholders. They quite happily can make a profit. That's not a problem, as long as they reinvest it in whatever they're doing or in the charities that they're supporting.
That's absolutely right. That is absolutely it. And there's, I mean, even in Ashford, there's two that I can think of on the high street in Ashford. We've got Made in Ashford, Craftship Enterprise. They run a not-for-profit organisation selling crafts that local artists and local crafters have made.
Yeah.
So there's some great initiatives in there. They also run craft workshops for children and older people living with or in isolation or loneliness, for instance. Yeah. And then you've got the Beehive, which is absolutely, I absolutely love it in there. It's a women's boutique.
Yeah.
And a cafe, and basically what they sell secondhand used but good quality clothing.
Yeah.
And women or men or anybody who non-binaries can go in there and have a voucher gifted to them or gifted by a caseworker, which will give them the opportunity to have a personal shopper. Wow. And go in and shop for clothing, and they go to the check out the registrar, and they will have it all put through as though it's like, so you get that real shopping experience.
It's that boutique experience, isn't it? Yeah.
But you get it at the end. The difference is you just don't pay for the items.
Oh, right.
That
okay.
You've gotten. So it's a great initiative. That's the Beehive in Ashford on the High Street. So it's things like that I look at and think, oh, I just really want to support that.
And this is where the power of this directory comes in.
Yes.
Because most of these things we haven't heard of.
No.
We wouldn't know they exist. So with the directory that you've put together that's available on the web, presumably.
It is, yes. So it's bisocialkent.org.uk. And it is a free directory. So it's a free space for CICs and local organisations with a social impact to share what they're doing and to advertise it for free.
Yeah, we've put a link to that on the Kempis's Radio website. That will stay there forever, so that you can always go and find that there. But that's the power of what this project is all about, is bringing these organisations to people's attention.
Yes.
Yeah, because that's the main thing, isn't it? To know about them in the first place. I live in the greater Ashford area, but I hadn't heard of either of those organisations. So, you know, I've learned something today already about two in Ashford. I'm sure there's more.
There's loads.
Yeah.
Absolutely loads. Mm. Some great initiatives out there. There really is.
Absolutely. So if people want to be registered on the directory, how do they go about that? So if you run a CIC or a company that you think's got heart, how do you go about it?
So you go onto our website. Mm-hmm. So bisocialkent.org.uk and select register here.
Right.
And it'll take you through some questions that you have to answer. And there's opportunities within that for them to register their organisation, but to talk about the good that they're doing within the community. Once they've filled out all of the questions, it then goes through to our admin team, who will then look through and approve it. So it doesn't automatically get approved. It will get approved once somebody's, a second pair of eyes, have gone over it and looked into it. And that's just to safeguard the businesses, but to safeguard ourselves as well. So we want to ensure that whoever we're promoting and whoever we're advertising is who they say they are. And not just that, there's options within that for people to post their logos, their photos, so they can really showcase their business and their brand. And it might be that sometimes some businesses don't put their logo on there, and we might give them a nudge and just say, listen, it's best practice that you put your logo. If you don't put your logo, then Social Enterprise Kent's logo automatically goes in your in replace, which isn't great advertising for them. But yeah, it's just so we can ensure that they're getting the absolute best out of our directory.
Absolutely. And I want to move on now and talk about, you've made reference to it a couple of times, which is marketing.
Yes.
Yeah, and promotion. I'm just going to make, I'm not asking you to comment. This is my opinion. Okay. So many small organisations, whether they're not-for-profit or for-profit organisations, are absolutely terrible at marketing and promoting themselves, and they really, really don't try very hard to do it. And then they wonder why they struggle to get recognition. So I just want to talk about some of the things around marketing, because I guess a lot of small organizations don't even understand what we mean by marketing. They confuse sales and marketing for a start. So from your point of view, as a specialist in that area, in kind of marketing, what are some of the things that you recommend that a CIC or a small community company with heart actually does to promote themselves, as well as to your directory, obviously?
So I'm a big believer in digital marketing.
Right.
And I know there is place still for old-fashioned marketing techniques.
Yep.
But digital marketing, social media, a website, that is essentially your shop window.
Yeah.
It's your business.
Yeah.
It's the modern version of your shop window.
Yeah.
It gives a digital presence. It gives an insight into who you are, what you're doing, what you're trying to achieve. So I think that's absolutely crucial. Marketing is essential. Without marketing, then there's a good chance the business will fail. And that's not for all businesses, because some businesses do really well from word of mouth. But a lot of business models rely heavily on marketing. Mm. You are right. There's a lot of business owners that don't talk about or sell themselves. And that might be down to them as the business owners. It might be down to their, they don't want to get up on social media, or they don't want to talk in the newspapers or on radio about what they're doing or what they're trying to achieve. They just want to focus all of their attention on their business. Mm. But unless we know about it, unless we know that it exists, then you're not going to generate that income. You're not going to generate those or bring in that custom.
Yeah.
And there's a whole world of opportunity when it comes to digital marketing. And I say to a lot of people, social media is a key element in this.
Yeah.
It really is. It can be such a great insight into what you're doing as a business. Mm. And not necessarily just to make sales, but to just give that allow that recognition for your business, to let people know that you're there, you exist, you're here, we have a voice within this area.
Yeah.
it's a very complex area as well, though, is marketing, because it's unique. It's a unique fingerprint for every single business. But what we can do at Social Enterprise Kent is we can offer those that consultancy service, so we can do a deep dive into the business.
Okay, cool.
And really work on a marketing strategy and look into what kind of marketing techniques will support them as a business. And it might be that we do a deep dive into their social media or into their website and their SEO, so their search engine optimization, which will rank them on search engines online. And we can look into all of that, look into the background of it, look into what would benefit them as a business. And because we're a not-for-profit as well, we're a fraction of the price of what it would cost anywhere
else.
And our profits are reinvested back into our community projects.
Right.
So that is something that we can support people with.
I'm totally on board with everything you said there. I run a for-profit business. So I run quite a few for-profit businesses. And we do spend money on marketing, but you don't have to. You know, a lot of social media is free if you use it in the right way. I'm a massive believer in digital marketing. Old school marketing, I mean, I'm not even sure what old school marketing is anymore, you know, because email marketing is now considered old school, but it's still a very powerful medium. Old school marketing basically involved newspapers and TV and radio. I still do TV advertising on Sky occasionally. It's hellishly expensive, and it's not as effective as it used to be, because at the bottom line, what you're trying to get out of a marketing strategy is as many people in your demographic as possible being aware of you.
Yes.
And in the old school, that was newspapers, radio and TV that had big audiences. But things have changed now, and you don't need big audiences. You need the right audience.
Indeed. Yeah. And not just that. I think our tone of voice has changed as well. I think mainly our consumers are becoming more aware of when they're being sold to. And I don't know about you, Paul, but if I'm being sold to, I switch off. I don't engage with content that is trying to make a direct sale from me. There's ways you can sell things on social media without being so direct. And that's usually the best kind of marketing technique that you can use. I think consumers are becoming far more aware, and I see it all the time. I support a lot of people with their social media, and I can see in their analytics when they've attempted to sell. And I'm not saying that it doesn't work. But it doesn't get as much engagement. I've tested it on my own social media where I've tried selling something and I've got minimal engagement compared to another post that was more relatable, that was more human, that had maximum engagement, which does better on the algorithms. So it's a case of it's tone of voice as well when it comes to getting the marketing right and telling people as well. I think if you've got a social business or you've got a business with a social impact, shout about it.
Tell
people what you're doing.
I'm smiling while you were saying all of that because I'm terrible. LinkedIn drives me potty with the amount of people that try and flog me something on LinkedIn. And what really annoys me is they never read my profile first. And they normally try and sell me something that I already do myself. Or they try and sell me something based on something I don't do because they've made an assumption. The biggest one, I own Jobs in Kent, the recruitment portal. A lot of people just look at the title and assume we're a recruitment agency, which we're not. And the amount of people on LinkedIn that go, I can help you get more consultancy referrals. Why would I want? And I just go, why would I want that?
It's cold marketing, isn't
it? And they'll just go, well, because as a recruitment consultant, I went, but who told you I was a recruitment consultant? And then eventually it dawns on them, you know, and, you know, it just drives me potty that it's such a poor technique in terms of not even bothering to find out about your target client before you approach them with a piece of spam, really.
It's mass marketing, isn't
it?
It's going out to the masses and just spamming them with a message and you're hoping one leads or one lands. But I think the more personable approach, I mean, I advocate authentic and organic marketing. And I think a more personable approach, less is more. That's my approach to things. And like I said, every business and every strategy is different and is unique to them. What works for one might not work for another.
And the thing the thing that most people don't really think about when they're trying to do sales or marketing is timing. Yeah, if you've got a product, somebody might want it, but not now.
Yeah.
So the whole idea is about branding. It's about raising awareness. So at the point when they do want it, they think, who is that nice young lady that sent us a message about that a while back?
Yeah.
That's the key thing, because the chances of you hitting someone that wants to buy exactly what you're selling at that very moment in time is quite minimal. So it is a question about raising awareness rather than trying to make an instant sale.
It's building those relationships, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
It's building relationships between client and consumer and business. And once you build those relationships and you've built that foundation, then you've left an impression on somebody.
Yeah.
And quite often they're the most meaningful sales, I find.
Yeah. And I think you're right. There's also a lot of community interest and social companies that don't make it plain that they are actually not-for-profit companies and are trying to do social good. And they don't always make that plain as well.
I know why that is, though. There's a lot of directors and founders of social businesses who are there, that it's a passion project.
Yeah.
They're doing it because they're genuinely, genuinely passionate about that cause. And they're too humble to get up and say, look at what we're doing. Like, they don't want to be doing that. They want to be dealing with the like ins and outs of their business, really getting it off the ground, really working on. So the marketing side of things and shouting about what they're doing and what they've achieved, it's almost like, well, we don't want to talk about
That's
ourselves.
Tacky.
We don't want to talk about ourselves. But actually, it's really important and it's really crucial that they get up there on that platform.
Yeah.
They shout about what they're doing and they talk about it so people understand. I always say, talk about why. Talk about your why. You don't have to get up there and sell anything or talk about how amazing you are.
That is an absolutely spot on, nail on the head type thing, which I find quite a lot with the radio show here. We invite small businesses of all kinds onto the show, and quite often people will go, I don't think I can do this because I don't know what to say. And you go, hold on a minute. You're telling me you've been in business 5 years and you don't know anything about your business. Well, yeah. Well, that's all you got to do is tell us what you do. Yeah, but that'll be boring. No, it won't. Trust me, you're passionate about what you do. You do what you do for a reason. Why don't you just come and tell us?
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to come out with any smart marketing lines or, you know, we're not constructing TV ads here. You're just going to tell us what you do. And when people eventually arrive in the studio, they get so passionate because they're passionate about what they do. And that's all you need, is just to talk about what you do.
Exactly that. And then you'll find that the listeners will relate and they'll like the person that was sharing that story or that their business model and their why. And it will be, oh, I want to go and support that business. I want to go and buy from that business.
Yeah.
And that's what you find on social media. I'll speak to all founders or directors and CEOs and I'll tell them to really, really zone in on that why you're doing what you're doing. Talk about why you're passionate about that business model, and you'll find that your followers will relate to that or they'll buy into that. They'll buy into your passion and they'll want to support you. There's been many of businesses where I've looked at what someone does and out of principle, because I like the founder or I like the director and I love what they're doing, I want to support them. So I'll make a point of going out of my way to use that business, use that organization. And that's because you genuinely, as a consumer, want to support what they're doing and what they're trying to deliver.
Absolutely. Right. So we've got two or three things we're going to look at here. First and foremost, the Buy Social campaign is now up and running.
It is.
Yep.
Yes.
So you got a few days before Christmas for your last minute Christmas shopping. You need to get in and look at the directory and find out where you can buy stuff. You know, we've talked about Ashford and some craft stuff that's available there. I'm sure there's loads of other businesses that have got loads of lovely things that you could buy. So do check it out from that point of view. If you run a social business, a community interest company, or a local business that has heart and puts something back into the community, then think about registering your business on there.
Absolutely.
You know, why not? You know, it's a free directory, and it's part of your marketing plan. It will get you some exposure, and it will get you some new customers. So check it out. Let's give a shout out for the website again, which is
bysocialkent.org.uk.
Fantastic. bysocialkent.org.uk. There is a link to that on the Kent Business Radio website. And then if you want to find out about the broader work and training and all the other things that Social Enterprise Kent do, they obviously have their own website as well. So give us a shout out for that as well, Sarah.
Social Enterprise. Oh, God. Okay. socialenterprisekent.org.uk.
That's it. You got it?
Yeah.
There's a link to that as well on the Kent Business Radio website. So do check that out, because they do lots of fantastic work, training courses and help, especially in the field of employment and getting people back into the world of work. They not only do they look after people with supporting needs, but they look after the needs of older workers too, coming back into the workforce, and then younger people too. It's an interesting thing, actually, that at the moment, the over 50s are the biggest demographic of people returning to work. So, you know, Social Enterprise Kent helping you do that is a great benefit, because it may be that you haven't changed jobs in the last few years in that age group, and things have changed quite a lot in terms of how you go about finding a job.
Yeah, and it can become quite scary as well for some people, that, especially people that I've worked with before. Things have changed, and they've changed more so within the last couple of years.
Yeah.
I would say since the pandemic, we are more digital than we've ever been. And that's quite overwhelming for some people. Social Enterprise Kent do also offer a digital inclusion scheme,
right,
where we'll support people that aren't really IT literate.
Yeah.
And we'll support them in how to use their smartphones, how to use email, how to log into a computer, just so we can promote more digital inclusivity, because everything is going online and being made digital. And not everybody knows how to handle that.
I'm smiling again. My poor old mum, she's 94.
Oh, wow.
And she's got early onset dementia. And I'm her carer. But she lives on her own, but I look after her. You can't do anything. You're going, no, mum, you have to log on. Aww. What? What are you talking about? Can't you go up the office? No, we have to do this. You know, so many digital things have not taken that into account, that they're dealing with people that just aren't able to deal with their stupid systems, you know.
And that's very overwhelming as well.
It is, you know. I mean, I have power of attorney. My sister and I have power of attorney over her bank account at last. But up front, that was really difficult. You know, she'd do something silly. She'd try and log on. I bought her an iPad, and she'd try and log on to a bank, and she'd forget the log-on number. You put it in three times, and it disables you, and you have to ring up and explain what you've done. She hasn't got a clue. I ring up and I go, we can't talk to you. Why? You're not the account holder. Oh, the account holder's got dementia and she's 94 years old. What are you know, really?
There's a lot of sophisticated scams as well.
People like that. Tell me about it. We just got hit by a scam at work. I don't even want to talk about that.
They're getting very sophisticated.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's one of the drawbacks with digital.
Yeah.
And one of the reasons that people find it so scary, because they're not entirely sure what they're looking at here. Is it true or is it not? You know.
Well, that's something, again, Social Enterprise Kent can support somebody with. So we can educate them on what they need to look out for, what kind of accreditation they need to be looking at, the security of their devices. We can support with all of that.
It's crucially important. I mean, I've worked in IT for 50 years and I still catch myself about to push the button and go, hold on a minute.
Yeah.
You know, it's just one of those, a lot of phishing scams and scams are coincidental because they send out millions.
Yeah.
And I had a funny one the other day. My partner said to me, I've ordered a Christmas present, but it needs a signature and it's coming today and you're the only one in. So can you sign for it? But you mustn't open it. Right, okay. I get an email saying, they were from DPD or someone. I get an email saying, we've tried to deliver this. It requires a signature. Click here. And I think, oh, bugger, I must have missed the doorbell.
Oh, I've seen this one.
And I went to press the button. I thought, hold on a minute. I didn't order this. This is my email address they've sent this to. Yeah. I didn't order this. It wouldn't have come to my email address. And when I investigated, it had a spoof email address, but they'd spoofed it. Yeah. It would have been so easy to click that link and then, you know.
Well, it's that cold marketing technique, isn't it, within their industry? They send them out on a mass, hoping to land on just a few.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
And it does work with some people.
Yeah.
I have seen that one that you're talking about.
Right. Okay.
And I nearly clocked. Nearly got conned by that one. I looked at the email address and where it was from.
Yeah.
And you could see that it wasn't a legitimate.
Yeah, they're normally disposable email addresses. And,
exactly.
You know, I have to say, Amazon have their own email addresses. Yeah. They don't have to use 9374 and 15634 at Gmail. Yeah. But, you know, it's easy for us to fall, you know, people that are experienced in the world of digital, our senior citizens. I'm a senior citizen. I keep forgetting that. But even more senior citizens than me struggle with those kind of things. And we live in a world where you can't do anything without it nowadays. You know, everything's digitally linked, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. It is.
But social enterprise can help. So check out their website if you want some help with all of those things. Now, I am being talked about on Twitter at the moment. Jules is moaning that I was being rude about her labels. Sarah Marsh Collins is agreeing with her and saying I was being disparaging rather than outright rude. And I don't care. I didn't get my Christmas present, and it's that simple. Now I've got a picture of Jules in a Christmas Santa hat and her greyhound in a Christmas Santa.
Are they matching? Let me have a look at that. I need to see that. That's so sweet.
And Sarah, you can follow Jewel Serkin on Twitter and you can see all of her ramblings. Sarah Marsh Collins says, thanks for another great show to round out Business Bunker for 2022. Merry Christmas, Vanilla Webb and Jewel Serkin. From me and Jade Window Cleaning, that's her other half, based these days in beautiful Devon. They are originally from Kent, but moved to Devon some while ago. Jules is getting all Christmassy now. I thought you were ill. See, you're not. you could have been here doing this since. Well, mind you, she would have coughed all over me, wouldn't she? So we don't need that. Right, I've got a few things to tell you just before we finish the show. The Band of the Royal Marines have launched a Christmas single with the acclaimed Music Man Project. Today marks the launch of a special charity Christmas single, the Royal Marines Band Service and the Music Band Project, an award-winning music education and performance charity for people with learning disabilities, have collaborated to release their Christmas single, Music is Magic. The project marks the first collaboration between the two groups, with all proceeds from the single going to the Help the Music Man Project support learning disabled people across the UK. The Kent branch of the Music Man Project, based in Medway and in Maidstone, were involved in the filming and recording of the music video. Sarah Mann, who's director of the Music Man Project, said after lockdown, when so many of our performers felt incredibly isolated, it was great to be able to get together with other Music Man projects from around the UK and to be involved in something so meaningful and positive. The single is dedicated to the Music Man Project's late patron, Sir David Amos MP, who was the president of the Music Man Project prior to his death in October 2021. He secured opportunities for the Music Man Project to perform at venues, including many of the top venues in the UK. The single is available to download and stream on all major digital music stores and is available now. So do check it out. The Music Man Project, the Band of the Royal Marines, with the Music Man people involved. What have we got here? Completely different. A Kent pub has won an award for having the best pub garden. Not much use now under snow, although the snow's gone now, but the Blacksmith Arms in Coodham near Sevenoaks has transformed its outdoor space with a patio and plants, pergola, covered function area, an outside bar and kitchen next to a wildflower field. It also has a space for a marquee, which is used by local bands who play at the pub. So that's the Blacksmith's Arms in Coodham. Congratulations. This is an interesting development. Wi-Fi hubs. Wi-Fi hubs are offering a place for people to charge their phones are being installed in Kent for the first time. And they're BT Street Hubs, so British Telecom Street Hubs, which are described as modern alternative to the phone box, are part of the telecom giant's plans to boost digital connectivity across the UK. Bosses want to erect 4 units in Ashford Town Centre and say they will be funded through advertisements shown on state-of-the-art LED screens on the hubs, basically. The hubs can provide improved 4G and 5G coverage, allow free calls to emergency numbers, and can monitor the air quality in the immediate area, whilst also being used to charge your phone and as touchscreen maps. So that could be interesting. I want to see what they're like when they roll some of those out. A frozen food company is set to expand after offering employment support and training for those who've dealt with trauma, addiction, homelessness and prison. Cook, which is based in Sittingbourne's Eurolink estate, has been awarded with a Queen's Award for Enterprise in recognition of its Raw Talent Scheme. RAW stands for Ready and Working, and the project provides training and jobs for people facing obstacles to employment. The business, which employs 1,700 people, has so far recruited more than 150 new employees through the programme. So that's fantastic news. Good stuff. What else we got here? We're almost at the end of the show, so I'm trying to rush through these before we have to go off the air. I think I've done that one previously, so... the locate, let's see what they did there. The Locate Industrial Park, just off Junction 8 of the M20, that's at Hollingbourne, is receiving strong interest from the market, with the first occupiers poised to move in. They've basically built a whole heap of really big warehouses and distribution points there. It's on the junction of the M20, between the Great Danes Hotel and the service area there. The Locate Industrial Park covers a huge site with most of its units already exchanged or under offer, and will provide jobs in logistics and industrial sectors, as well as a high number of office-based roles, thus bringing together a range of different fields and expertise while offering sustainable methods and tools for working. The £47 million new mixed-use business park is on the Ashford Road at Junction 8 off the M20. The site is suitable for both small and medium-sized businesses with room for more than 1,000 employees. The spaces at Locate have been designed not only for functionality and durability, but to look good. It does look good as well. You can see it from the road when you pass it on the motorway. Units provide industrial space from 5,000 square feet up to 36,000 square feet, and logistics space from 40,000 square feet to 106,000 square feet, and office spaces from 11,000 square feet to 18,000 square feet. So it's big, big, big. So do check that out. At the other end of the scale, there are two things coming to Kent in spring 2023. There's the Tenterton Trading Post, the Trading Post Tenterton, which is 4 business units based on the outskirts of Tenterton, which is offering co-working hot desking space in Unit 1. And then in the other 3 units is office spaces from a 1-person office up to a 50-person office. So there's loads of space there. Do check that out. There's a blog about it if you want to read it, which is kentbusinessradio.co.uk/Tenterton, TP Tenterton. And then... this is a secret, so I can't tell you too much about it. But also coming in spring 2023 is a new co-working space on the Isle of Sheppey. And that's all I'm going to say about it at the moment. You can find out a little bit more by going to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/Sheppey and have a look at that. But as that becomes more more defined, we will let you know. So there's 2 new co-working spaces coming in Kent. We're just about at the end of the show, though. I think we've covered most things. Let me just see if anybody's still tweeting. Jules is probably still moaning about her Christmas cards. Yes, she is. I think I've read most of the tweets that you can never be sure. What happens is I go off the air and then I found a dozen tweets that I hadn't seen while I was telling you about this, that and the other. But I think we've covered most things now. So, where are we? This is going to be the last show of 2022. I will be back on the 3rd of January. That's the next show and the first show of 2023. Again, Jules has flaked out because she said, oh, I won't be coming back for that. I'll still be getting over Christmas and the new year. So I will be doing that on my own as well. But we do have two guests, so it will be fun, but we'll be missing Jules. Jules will be back on what will be the 10th of January, won't it? Will be the first full show when we're fully back. It just leaves me to thank today's guests, Pam Locke, and the lovely Sarah Drage of am I saying that right?
You are saying that, you know, right, good, yeah.
That's thank
the best
you.
Pronunciation.
Sarah Drage of Social Enterprise Kent and the project manager for the Bi-Social scheme. Do check out their website. Do put your name on the directory if you're a social business or a business with heart. And if you want to find out about any of the other work that Social Enterprise Kent do in helping people to employment, offering training courses, and all the whole range of different things they do, do check out their website as well. Sarah, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
It's been an absolute pleasure to share the studio with you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Having another living human being in here. Thank you to everybody that supported us through 2022. I did tell you, I'm going to do it again, a list of all the sponsors of the show over the year: Lock Associates, We Do Social Media, Telford's Accountants, Tannis Independent Financial Advisors, the Tenterton Chamber of Commerce, and DG East Vehicle Services. Thank you to all of you lovely, lovely people for helping us being able to present this show to you every week through 2022. We hope to be able to do that in 2023. We're never sure, but we hope we will be back in 2023 to do that. In the meantime, have a fantastic Christmas, everybody. And we wish you all a happy, healthy and successful 2023. My goodness, we all deserve it after the last couple of years. So let's hope things improve. We'll be back soon. Thank you for listening. See you all soon. Bye for now.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
This is Channel 2.